everybody, and welcome to the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Dating Mastery for Women. I'm Cami Ellen, your host, and I'm so happy that you're here. Each day during this virtual summit, you will learn tips and tools from our world-class experts on all things related to dating and attraction. This wisdom will help you to date and relate with unshakable confidence and become a woman who can inspire a great love. We're standing for you to create nothing less than lasting, luscious love, your ultimate love life makeover. So I'm really pleased to introduce my next guest expert, Kimberly Wilson, who will be talking today on the topic, Madly in Love with Me. You know, it's so easy when dating and relating and focusing on creating partnership to put our first attention outside of ourselves. And the truth is that we really can only love another fully when we fall in love with ourselves first and feel fulfilled and happy with a sense of tranquility in our lives, whether we have a partner or not. And I can think of no one better than Kimberly to share with you about how to do this and how to create this in your life. So I'm super excited to be talking with her today. But first, before we have her on, let me tell you more about Kimberly. So Kimberly Wilson is a psychotherapist in private practice, the author of 5 books, and the designer of eco-fashion Tranquility. She founded Tranquil Space in 1999, named among the top 25 yoga studios in the world by Travel and Leisure, and hosts the podcast and blog Tranquility du Jour. Her work has been featured in the Washington Post, Fast Company, U.S. News and World Report, Bella Grace, and more. Kimberly lives in Washington, D.C. with rescue pets and a partner. She dreams of Paris and starting a micro sanctuary for pigs and pugs. And I'm so thrilled to welcome Kimberly. Welcome.
Thank you, Cami.
So glad to have you with us today. And why don't we just dive right in? And so what do you mean by madly in love with me? What does that mean?
You know, I love that title because there is a friend of mine, Christine Arlo, and she wrote a book, Madly in Love with Me, probably about 10 years ago. And I just thought it was the sweetest title. And whenever I heard from you, I thought, oh, that's the perfect name for kind of pulling this together, because I really do believe that so much of this starts within. And so in order, you know, to really be available for someone else, it's like, how do I become really comfortable and in love with who I am?
Absolutely. Well, so how does someone go about doing that? Where do they start? I know you talk a lot about self-care. Why is that important to loving yourself?
Yeah, that's a great question, because, you know, there is so much on self-care out there, you know, and it can be like, oh, get a mani-pedi and everything's great, right? If only it was that easy. But the idea really behind self-care and getting in touch with yourself is that it shows, and self-love really, is it shows that that's important to you, right? That you are important to you. And so with regard to self-care in particular, you know, I really like to remind people about the basics, of course, right? So from eating well to exercise to baths and things along those lines. But really, it's like, how do we develop more of like an ongoing romance with ourselves? That's really what I'm talking about with regard to kind of this deeper version of becoming more madly in love with who you are versus like, oh, well, once I get this degree or once I have this partner or once I live in this city, then everything will be good. It's like, how can you be okay right now surrounded by dirty laundry, screaming pets, children or whatever, you know, and be content with yourself? I think that's really more of what I'm speaking of with this idea of madly in love with me. But I do have to credit Christine because I love that title.
Yeah, I know Christine. She's great. Yeah. You know, as you're speaking, I know that what comes up for a lot of women around this idea is this sense of like, because, you know, you mentioned the dirty laundry, the pets, and, you know, all of that. And a lot of times I hear women say like, well, I don't have time for all of that. I, you know, I just barely have time to check my online dating account. How do I fit in all this other stuff? And why is it necessary? So what do you say to women who talk about that and feeling like it's a struggle to even figure out, well, how do I fit this self-care into my life?
Right, right. No, I think that's such a great point. And it's funny you say that, because I recently was, just a couple of weeks ago, I was like, gosh, I feel so out of sorts. What's wrong? You know, and I'm like writing in my journal, and then I was like, a light bulb went off, and it's like, well, you haven't been to a yoga or ballet class in a couple of weeks, which is really not the norm. And you're not eating very well. You know, it's like, because it was kind of, as many people I'm sure can relate to, of going from thing to thing to thing. And so not really taking good, like the basic care of exercise and good food. And so it was just this moment where I was like, oh my gosh. I mean, it was so obvious. And so, you know, whenever we're able to, I think, take a step back and notice, like, okay, am I taking care of my basic needs, right? Mm-hmm. Am I not putting laundry before a good salad or a green smoothie, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really, to answer your question, and I love that question because I think it's something that so many people struggle with, it comes down to priorities, right? So what is it that's more important? Like, will you remember that your laundry was always done and your dishes were always put away? Or will you remember that experience that you had, or that meal you had with a friend, or the tea that you had? You know, it's like thinking about the priorities of the huge to-do list that I think so many people struggle with these days.
Well, just when you're saying all of that, I feel myself just dropping into my body when you're talking like that, because it's like we have to just back up from all of those to-do things and to be like, oh, you know what? It's okay if that sits there a little longer. Nothing's going to be hurt by that, but I am if I don't really sit into and sink into what am I really needing, what's going to nourish my body or my mind or my spirit, whatever it is, and just allowing the space for that. So it also sounds about like you're talking about self-compassion too. So what about this concept of self-compassion around falling madly in love with me?
Yeah, you know, I love the word self-compassion, and I think it's so great that it's like so kind of buzzy right now. And what I mean by that is the work of Kristen Neff, who's doing all this mindful self-compassion. You can find TED Talks and all sorts of a book, you know, all sorts of great things. And I did a training with her last fall. But, you know, it's this idea of really being gentle with ourselves. I mean, we can be so good about, okay, I do my self-care, and I, you know, feel like I love myself, but am I actually kind to myself? And that's really where self-compassion comes in. And, you know, it's this idea of really stepping back and noticing, what am I saying to myself? Like, I would never talk that way to a friend. Or how do I treat myself whenever I fall short? Or how do I acknowledge myself whenever I do actually get that, you know, big goal accomplished? Is it like, okay, check it off and move on to the next? Or is there a sense of celebration, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what whenever I think self-compassion, I think it's this idea of like holding yourself with a sense of tenderness, right? Mm. Versus self-flagellation, which I think we're very, very good at.
Oh. Well, as you're talking about this aspect of it, it feels like it's allowing yourself to really be in touch with your needs and your feelings, slowing down to sense in to what's really happening there, and to listen to those times where we maybe aren't that kind to ourselves, and what are those automatic thoughts that are going on in there, and allowing ourselves to really get into, well, what's really true about that? And I think that's so important, because if we're not deeply in touch with ourselves during a dating process, and we're sort of on automatic pilot, then we might be choosing partnering, you know, the wrong partners, or maybe saying no to a potential great partner because we're not deeply connected to ourselves to begin with. So I love what you're saying about that.
Well, and just to touch on what you said, I think is so, so important. You know, it really is. It's like this opportunity, and I think this is where we can really fall in love with ourselves is to really get to know ourselves, you know, because sometimes we're like, oh, I totally know myself, you know, I know what I want, but it's like, really, do you notice your patterns? Like, sometimes they're shocking. And you probably know this, you know, studying psychology, that a lot of times what we dislike in others is actually, you know, something that we dislike in ourselves, which is like, oh, dear God, don't say that, you know?
Right.
Right. But as you said, the automatic thoughts, it's like really getting in touch with those. And I love to share this statistic, which I learned through mindfulness, is that we have 50 to 70,000 thoughts a day.
Oh my.
Guess how many are repetitive? This is the wild thing.
I would guess a lot, but
90 to 95%.
Wow.
Right? So whenever you talk about getting to know yourself and those automatic thoughts, it really is like, okay, what are the things that are on loop that I'm just saying to myself over and over and over again? And is it healthy? Is it uplifting? Is it moving me forward? Is it holding me back in some capacity?
Mm-hmm. Well, if someone wants to start looking into this and starting to make some shifts, what are some of your favorite Madly in Love with Me practices that they can start to take on?
You know, two that come to mind that are just like my go-tos that I push, you know, it's like I'm evangelical about. And it's, you're probably familiar with the book, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron.
Oh, yes. Oh, I've done my morning pages before. Yes.
Yes.
I haven't done the whole thing, but I'm familiar.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a great book. And I actually credit that book to the launch of my yoga studio back in 1999. Oh, wow. But anyway, she has two cool tools in there that I find to be really important, particularly with this idea of madly in love with me and really just taking good care of yourself. And one is the morning pages that you just mentioned. And for those of you who are listening, you're like, I don't know what a morning page is. So the idea behind it is to write 3.5 pages longhand, first thing in the morning, about what's on your mind. So we do it in the morning versus at the end of the day, because at the end of the day, sometimes we have a tendency to just kind of rehash the day. And you know, you don't have to do 3.5 pages. You can do whatever you want, but the idea is to regularly write. And writing can be so incredibly healing. And it can also help us get in touch with our patterns, particularly if you're like writing the same thing over and over again, right? It's like, ah, so that's what's going on. And then the other tool that I find to be super beneficial, again, from that book, is an artist date. So
oh, yeah.
Yeah, artist dates are so fun. And an artist date is simply this idea of it's a solo excursion once a week for 1 hour that you do to nurture your creative self. And so, you know, for me, like, for example, right before we're chatting, I just got back from a ballet class that I did solo, and I've just returned to it this year, and I love it. And it's, you know, to me, that's an artist state, right? It's this mm-hmm. way of nurturing and connecting to my creative self, mm-hmm. and also, you know, kind of pushing my comfort zone, pushing my edges, and also being kind to myself, because, you know, it's a lot of you know, middle-aged women, we're just in there in our little leotard, you know, giving it our all, right? But
oh, I love it.
It's sweet. So those are two simple tools, but you know, I think too, it's this idea of just, how do I get to know myself more? And that can come through all sorts of like body movements, right? From yoga mm-hmm. to dance, to running, you know, so these ideas of getting in touch, because sometimes this meditation teacher said this once, is that I always thought that my body was just there to carry my head around. Like I never paid attention to myself from the neck down. And isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
I love that. And it's this idea of, you know, the reason I mentioned sort of like exercise or dance or things along those lines, it's getting in touch with our body, you know, because it helps too to notice when we eat certain things. Like I love pizza. And after I eat pizza, like I love eating it. And then afterwards I'm like, oh, you know, versus say a green smoothie. So it's that idea of getting really in touch, you know, with yourself. And then with regard to the morning pages or the journal writing, again, I can't emphasize the importance of that enough. And what I'll do too, because my journal is a little bigger, a little heavier, is I always carry something that's small and I call it an ideas book. So sometimes if I have something that comes up, it's like, you know, a bit emotional or something, I'm like, I just need to write right now, then I will pull that out and do a little bit of kind of processing, you know, within it, which can be really, really helpful. And it also is great if I'm in a therapy session, I want to take notes, like my own therapy, right? Mm-hmm. Being a therapist for someone else. And then also if I'm at a conference and I'm like, oh, I didn't bring a notebook, like there's my little ideas book. Or if I have this idea that comes up in the middle of, you know, the day, I can just jot it down in there. So again, these tools that allow you to get more in touch with what it is you want and what's going on for you right now, because it varies from day to day, moment to moment.
Well, I think I love what you bring when you are working with people. And I know because I've been in some of your classes in person and online, and you bring such a lovely sense of creativity and exploration. And what do you say to people who feel like, well, I'm not very creative, and you know, maybe I can write a little with the artist pages, but what other things can you suggest for people who haven't explored their creativity? Because I know you do the crafting with the journaling. We made these lovely vision boards. And what kinds of things can people do to kind of start to open up and explore their creativity with some of these practices? What are some ways to get started there?
Sure. You know, that is such an important part, I think, of really falling in love with yourself, is tapping into this creative self. And everyone who is going through the summit is creative, and they're all artists. Everyone is an artist. And so what I mean by that is, if you think about it, okay, what you cook, you know, those of you who cook, or those of you who bake, or those of you who sew, or those of you who get dressed in the morning, right? That's like putting together yourself in as creative a way as possible, your expression of who you are and what's going on inside of you out to the world, right? So even the pens, like I've got a pen right here. What is it? It is a Crayola marker, right? So, you know, if I were to show up in like a board meeting or something with this, you know, in like a corporate environment, it probably would not be appropriate. You know, it's like thinking about like, what are the ways in which you can express yourself that are a little that you're already doing, because I know you're doing something. There's just no way. Like that's beauty of the book, The Artist's Way, is it helps you get in touch with the fact that we are all artists. It's not just Van Gogh, even though Van Gogh is amazing, right? Or people who design clothes, or who, you know, like Betsy Johnson, right? So we can always think of like people who we identify with as being, oh, that's a creative person I admire. Well, what is it that you do on a regular basis? Even the way in which you raise your children or care for your pets, you know? I mean, all these sorts of things can be done in a creative way. And what creative is, and this is fresh on my mind because I just taught a workshop on yoga and creativity.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so it's like perfect, it's fresh. And it was great because, you know, sometimes people think, oh, creativity is painting, right? But creativity is just doing something in an original way, right? So it's, you know, if you think about even with regard to yoga, there are so many types of yoga. So initially there was yoga, then there was like vinyasa yoga, and now there's all these different branches and spins on vinyasa yoga.
Oh, yeah.
Or power yoga, all sorts of things, right? So think about for yourself even, you know, the ways in which you can take something that's original, even if it's like tweaking an ingredient in a recipe. That's a way to express creativity. But I really do feel that getting in touch with our creative self is critical to getting to know ourselves more. And what I mean by that, it doesn't mean you have to pick up a paintbrush, you have to start a sewing class or macrame. I just took a class on, and I'm looking at it, macrame plant hanger.
That's so cool. Yeah. You know,
fun. The 70s are revitalized.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you don't have to do things like that, really. It's just like, what is it that would push you out of your comfort zone just a little? A, identify what you're already doing. B, push out of your comfort zone a little. So I've been doing yoga for about 20 years, right? And I haven't been to a dance class in about 4. So I picked it back up this year and I am loving it. I love it. Right. So thinking about for yourself, what would allow you to push out? And sometimes I think, Cami, one piece that's really important is we think like, oh, I can't do that alone. Like I need to have a friend who will go, and I don't have a friend to go with me. Nobody wants to do this. And that's the thing. Like, I went to that macrame plant hanger class solo. I went to this ballet class solo. I went to go see a Sylvia Plath exhibit at a museum downtown, and a girlfriend wanted to join. So that was great. But if she didn't, I still would have gone. So thinking about what are some things that you can do, even if you can't get anyone else to jump on board, you know, that would allow you to spend time nurturing your creative self and spending time alone. Because I think the thing about for women, we're such caretakers, right? So it's like, yes, we're great at giving to others. But what about you? What about refilling that well?
Well, this is, you know, we've been talking about artist dates, but also as you're talking about this, because I really think that it's important as people are out there dating and seeking a romantic partner, I think it's important to take them out on dates, like their own date. It sounds like you're talking about that too. Do you, you recommend taking ourselves out on dates?
Absolutely. Like, I don't know if you've ever gone to a movie alone.
I love it.
Love it. So the first one I ever did, and this was maybe about 15, 16 years ago, but it was Legally Blonde.
Okay.
And it was a matinee. And I tell you, there was something about it, you know, I thought, oh, it's going to be weird, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, matinee, there's not many people there. So it's a great kind of launching off point. And before I knew it, then I was going to like Saturday night movies alone. You know, it's like, you know, because other people may be busy, other people may be partnered, or other people, you know, may not be interested in the film you are, but still going. I've even gone to concerts alone, like Tori Amos, like four of them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I have too.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
There's something liberating about it. And yes. I think it's a confidence builder too, mm-hmm. you know, because there's this thing that, oh, I can't go to the movies alone, or I can't go to a concert alone, or to dinner alone. Well, why not? Right. It's a way to build confidence. And then you can also practice being out in public, you know, having your eyes away from your phone, yes, and just being present and making eye contact. And it doesn't even have to be with someone of the opposite sex or the same sex, depending, you know, what you're looking for. But yeah, it doesn't mean you have to look to potential romantic partners. I mean, you can just have simple social conversation wherever you go, just practicing. And I think it's a really great way to come out of your shell and develop that confidence.
Absolutely. And I love what you say about, you know, dinner, right? So going, and the great thing is you can sit at the bar, you yeah. know, and you take a book. And as you said, like, put that phone down, even mm-hmm. though it's like so tempting now, just scroll, 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 right? But put it down and actually have a physical book, you know, or actually be with the food, taste it, like really, you know, savor it versus multitasking. And so that is also a great empowering step. And then the next step is to ask for a table for one, right? So that's always like great too. Cause there were a few summers ago, actually the summer that I met you, I had just spent about 6 weeks in Paris, and two of the weeks were leading retreats. But the last four were all about just me. And of course I wasn't going to like sit at home. I always went out to eat and, you know, got a table for one. It was the great thing about Paris is they don't try to move the tables quickly. So you can kind of linger and read and what have you. And the more you do it, the more you can get comfortable with it. But yeah, starting small by sitting at the bar, great first step.
Yes. Well, and I'll share a story. This is from many years ago, but I was out for a solo dinner sitting at the bar. It was a Chinese place. And someone, a man sitting at the bar, he was a chair over, and he started talking to me. We had a great conversation. And at the end, he asked me out. And so we're not doing this for that, but you just never know. You never right. know where you might meet someone. And when you're not with a bunch of other people, I think there's also more of an opening in the event something like that happens. So
exactly. No, that's a great reminder. And, you know, another date option, and the good point too, is when you don't have someone there with you, you are more available. Now, you may not be looking for that, right? You may be like totally just wanting to do your own thing. Like, that's how I always was at Tori Amos concert. I was like, I don't yeah. want to talk to anyone. But you know, you were more open, like sitting at the bar, you were willing to connect to someone else next to you. And so I think, you know, we can kind of give off a vibe as to what we're open to or not open to. But another thing too is taking yourself on a date to a museum or an art gallery. Mm. live music. Of course, I mentioned a concert, but there's also like small venues, you know, too. So thinking about what are some things that you want to do, but you've been hindered from doing it because or you felt hindered from doing it because you're not in a partnership or you don't have a girlfriend who wants to go with you. And so it's like, okay, could you put on your to-do list maybe over this next month to actually sign up for that particular class or get tickets to that show and take yourself on a date?
Oh, that's great. And how can someone switch their mindset around all of this, particularly around being more kind to themselves and to others? Because I think that's a piece that ties into what you're saying. You were talking about energetics and, you know, that people can pick up on that. So how can someone be more kind to themselves and to others?
Yeah, great question, because I think this is so important whenever we kind of circle back in this connection to self-compassion and self-care. But I think it really comes down to what are you saying to yourself, right? So that's the idea around those automatic thoughts and really noticing them. Huh, what's on repeat when I lose my keys and can't find them? What am I saying to myself? And you know, there's a meditation teacher that I love who she said to just repeat to yourself, bless my heart. So, right, like in the South, you know, there's a bless your heart sort of saying
All
that can
right,
be
bless your heart. Okay.
bless your heart, right, which can be very nasty, even though said with a smile, or it can be very much like, oh my God, bless your heart. Thank you so much. Or I hope you're going to be okay, right? But I love this idea because it's this idea of being really kind to yourself of like, oh, like bless my heart, you know, wow. Lost my keys again. You know, it's like just noticing what is it that we're automatically saying, because that can help with shifting the mindset. And then the idea is not just to notice what it is we're saying, but to work on replacing it. And I don't know, that bless my heart has really stayed with me, but you could come up with something else. It's like, I'm doing the best I can. You know, a mantra that allows you to remind yourself that you are a good person, even if you constantly lose your keys, right? You know, so it's like, how can you make that shift? And the idea behind it's a little bit of cognitive behavioral therapy, right? Of, you know, noticing your thoughts. And also, I love this question: is it true? Is it real? And so what that means, again, another mindfulness technique, but is it really true that you're an idiot, right? Because again, misplaced the keys, right? Is that really true? Well, no, I mean, you're probably not an idiot, you know? And then is it real? Well, it's real that I'm feeling that way in this moment. So the cool thing is that allows you to validate that part of yourself that has those feelings, but it also reminds yourself that thoughts are not reality. So shifting mindset is how do we avoid going down that rabbit hole of I'm an idiot. Oh my God, I always do this. Why do I always do this? I'm never going to find a partner. You know, it's like spiraling. And what we want to do is pause that spiral and bring it back up. And the way we do that is shifting is becoming aware of our thoughts and then shifting those thoughts. Bless my heart.
And then you can take that when starting to go on dates or being out in social situations to, oh, well, you know, he didn't call because I must have done something, or he didn't like me, or and it's really hard to stick with those thoughts when you ask yourself that question. Well, is that really true? Do I know that to be so? Maybe there's something else going on there. So I that's a really great tool. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure. Yeah. Is it true? Is it real? You know? And the reason I love that so much too is it's real. It acknowledges and validates what you're feeling in that moment, right? I'm feeling hurt. Nobody likes me, right? Because the guy didn't call back, right? But so it's like, actually, is that true? Nobody likes you. No, it's not true. But is it real? It's real that I'm feeling that way. I'm feeling rejected. I'm feeling hurt. I'm disappointed. You know, so it allows you to like get a little bit more in touch with what is actually going on versus the nobody likes me.
Yeah, catastrophizing that
Exactly.
we do.
We're very good at that.
Yeah. Well, I think you have a great quote that you like. Oscar Wilde says that to love oneself is the beginning of a lifelong romance. What do you think he meant by that?
Yeah, You know, I love that. I would love to read an essay on this particular quote. I'm sure there are some out there, but this quote has stuck with me, and it's something that I really love, particularly like around Valentine's Days or other kind of coupley times, which this is a reminder of whether or not you are coupled. It really starts with the basics of getting most in touch with who you are and loving who you are. And to me, right, who are we with forever? Always. Like nothing will take that away. Well, it's ourselves. And so to love oneself is the beginning of a lifelong romance. It's so beautiful. And the reminder that other people will come and go, whether or not it's dates, whether or not it's friendships, whether or not it's family, whether or not it's pets. Other people are going to come and go out of your life. It's just the nature of, the cycle of life, right? But what about you? Like you are with yourself forever. And so that's the most important kind of romance that we have. And so I just love that because it's this great reminder of like, you gotta love yourself. And then you're gonna have this great lifelong romance. Again, you can take yourself out on dates. You can write love letters, right? Yourself. I don't know if you've ever done like a letter to your future self or a letter to your younger self, So it's like you really can get in touch with this part of you that needs this extra attention, which we all do. And again, I don't think this is like a narcissistic thing, which I know that some people might feel like, oh, I don't want to become like super self-centered or whatever. And yet, I feel like this is the opposite of that. But it is really, really important that we get in touch with that kind of inner sense of kind of goodness within us, kind of what they call like the basic goodness. And take good care of that, kind of nurture it again, like it's fragile, like a sweet little child. In meditation, there's this great reminder that as your mind wanders, rather than being like, oh my God, there's my mind wandering again, what's going on, which is what our minds do, it's this idea of treating it like a sweet little puppy, right? You wouldn't pick up the sweet little puppy and be like, oh my God, why do you always do this? You would pick it up and bring it back gently, right, to where you want it to be. And so it's this idea of gently picking yourself too over and over again with care and gentleness, and then coming back. And that to me is like one way to really begin this lifelong romance that Oscar Wilde mentions.
What's so lovely about what you're saying is that if we are falling madly in love with ourselves and creating this lifelong romance with ourselves, then we kind of know what it is that we need and how we want to be treated and how we want to feel, so that when someone's not doing that, or when they are doing that, it's like we're modeling for ourselves, like, oh, this is how I want to be feeling in partnership. When someone's loving me, I want to be loved the way that I'm loving me, to really
Right.
know what that looks like.
Right. I love that. And it reminds me, even recently, I sat down with a client and we made a list of like, what is it you're seeking in a partner? And she was like, huh, I've never really thought about that. And I was like, really? And so it's this idea of writing like verbatim. I'm like, kids, do you want them? Are you okay if they had kids? Absolutely not. Like, what about if they smoke? No. And it was just like getting down to the basics, like, I mean, all sorts of things as to what it is that's most important to her. And so I think that can be a really great way too to tap into what it is you're seeking, because you know what it is you value within yourself and the way in which you're trying to be in the world.
And there are so many wonderful people out there with so many wonderful qualities, but then that way it helps us to have clarity that, well, this is a great person, but it's just not the right person for me because of that compatibility or what my needs are. So
Right.
to have that clarity is really important. And which also I think ties into this idea of developing trust and this self-trust within ourselves. So, how do we go about expanding our sense of self-trust?
Yeah, I know there's all these different self-care, self-compassion. You're like, oh my God, now there's self-trust. But the beauty about self-trust, what I love about this is it actually does, it's this idea of knowing yourself and loving yourself, right? And a lot of what we've already talked about is how to get to know yourself more. right? So by doing these artist dates, the morning pages, you know, these things outside your comfort zone where you notice the way in which you react and the way in which you experience the world. And then this idea of loving yourself kind of brings it all together in this idea of self-trust, even kind of going back to what we just talked about making a list of what you would want in a potential partner. And this also works for like a potential, you know, friend. So it doesn't have to just be a partner, but if you know what it is that is most important to you, you can trust yourself when you're in a situation and you're like, this doesn't feel right. Or I got this red flag, like based on kind of my criteria and what I know about myself and what I know to be important versus, you know, back in high school, we probably remember how we would just kind of become malleable into whatever it was that partner that we were seeking wanted, right? We're like, oh yeah, I'm like the outdoorsy type, you know, camping, you hate it. Or, you know, you're like, oh yeah, I love so-and-so concert. And then you go and you're like, this is not me. It doesn't mean we don't make compromises, right? But it's this idea of really getting to know yourself. What do you want? What do you enjoy? And I do think that takes a while. I don't think we're just born knowing this. It takes a lot of, kind of like reflection, right? And, you know, things like therapy help, you know, or, you know, relationships that are way more than our Facebook friends, you know, that it's like relationships where we go a little deeper with people, where we're able to really like sit and get in touch with ourselves. So that I think is, those are the two pieces that make up this concept and this important notion of self-trust. Because if you're able to trust yourself, then you'll know that you're making the right decision.
Yeah, I talk to so many people who have talked about being in relationship and feeling like, well, I don't know, I had this feeling, but I just, for some reason, I just swept it under the rug. You know, I didn't pay attention to it. But then later, I realized I saw this from the beginning. And why didn't I listen to myself? So this is a really important thing as women to really be tuning in and trusting our own intuition and our inner knowing and strengthening it. So thanks for underscoring that.
Yes.
So I'm just seeing the time and I want to make sure that I'm respectful of yours. And I'm wondering, do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share about this topic of falling madly in love with me?
Yeah. You know, what I would love to share and just remind people is to, A, if you could, in the next week to month, take yourself out on a date, right? And also this idea that you brought up, Cami, of tapping into your creativity, also taking yourself on an artist date. You may be like, well, what's the difference? Well, you can use them interchangeably, but, you know, I kind of see like a date being more even like a dinner out, you know, something kind of along those lines. However, anything along those lines that gets you out solo, where it's like doing something that you want to do, and that's maybe on your bucket list or on your list for this year that you want to have more of or see more of in your life. And I think too, the other piece that I would really just want to emphasize is to get to know yourself a bit more. You know, we think we do, right? And I'm constantly surprised by myself. Even this week, you know, I said to my partner, I was like, oh my gosh, like I'm so nice at times on the outside. And I tell you, I've got this like really interesting mean streak inside. He's like, yeah. You know, and it's funny. It's like, and I had just observed it by a reaction that I had had to something that was larger than it needed to be. Mm-hmm. And so the more you have those ahas, right? I think the more you can be like, oh, okay. So I need to pause before I send that email or, you know, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And, you know, whatever ways it helps to get more in touch with yourself again, like I love the idea of therapy, being a therapist, right? And, you know, of course the journal writing and of course like meditation, you know, sitting with your thoughts like, oh my Lord, it's wild. And, you know, in yoga, we call it the monkey mind, right? It's the mind that goes from thought to thought, limb to limb, like a monkey in a forest. And so if you can even get that monkey to be still for a few seconds, like you're doing really, really good. So yeah, I guess the idea really to become more madly in love with me is to shift from autopilot and to become a little bit more aware. What do you want? how are you showing up in the world? And how would you like to show up in the world?
Gorgeous. Thank you. And I think you have a tool or a free gift to help everyone to maybe start to take on some of this. You want to share what you have for them today?
Sure. Yeah. So it's a restorative practice. So it's a brief 12-minute yoga practice, but it's restorative because, you know, I was thinking, what do we most need when we think about self-care, right? Or self-compassion. And to me, it's this idea of slowing down and tuning in. So that's why I wanted to offer up the restorative practice that has beautiful music in the background. And again, this idea of pushing the pause button on your busy life and getting more in touch with you, what you want, and really what you're feeling, what's going on.
Well, thank you for that. And everyone, if you want to take advantage of her free gift, you'll find the link just below the audio that you're watching or the video that you're watching or the audio that you're listening to. It's just below on the page. And Kimberly, thank you so much for being here and sharing all of your tips and your tools and your wisdom. I really appreciate everything that you shared today about falling madly in love with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Cami.
And everyone who is with us today, thank you so much for being here for the Ultimate Love Life Makeover Summit. After you take advantage of Kimberly's free gift, don't forget you can check out more about the VIP package below, and that will allow you to listen back to Kimberly's session as much as you would like, as well as the content from all of the speakers on the summit. Go down below, or you can go to ultimatelovelifemakeover.com/VIP. Once again, thank you for being with us. And we look forward to being with you again for more of the Ultimate Love Life Makeover. Thanks so much and see you soon.